And I remember I spoke to one of my uncles afterwards who'd had a heart attack in the past, and he said, the problem is, Paul, those machines can only tell if you're having a heart attack whilst you're strapped up to them. So you might have had a heart attack in the past and you just don't know. And at that moment, I remember thinking, something needs to change. And it's interesting, whenever I talk to people throughout the world now, whenever people have sort of, not that that was, I wouldn't describe that as a near-death experience, but a moment where your mortality comes into question, and all of a sudden, I think as youngsters we all think we're immortal, and it's only as you get older you start to realize you're not. And when something like that happens, all of a sudden it changes everything. So I can put that was the first step towards me changing my life, basically, and thinking, and it's important for me to be grateful for just the very basic thing in life of being alive and not taking for granted what we are given as a gift.
Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from my heart, from the bottom of my heart.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today is an author, entrepreneur, coach, and former corporate lawyer. He used to be a corporate lawyer, but found himself depressed and suicidal, despite having achieved everything society tells us we need to be happy. He took the brave decision to start again and began work to discover the root cause of his feelings of unfulfillment and dissatisfaction. Paul Cope, our guest today, has done extensive research into those root feelings, and part of that includes how we work in relationships with other people. He works closely with people suffering from a variety of mental illnesses such as ADHD, anxiety, depression, and now he is here with us to talk about himself, about gratitude, and the book that just came out. Paul, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thanks for having me, George, and happy to be here.
So, getting to the first part that I mentioned, tell us a little bit about you, about your story.
So as with all of us, I think it's a long story. So I'll tell you the short version. I knew when I was 3 years old that I wanted to be a lawyer. And it started off with a story in my dad's car when I was three. And I used to love cars when I was little. I used to have a bucket at my house full of those little cars, and I'd play with them every day. And one day we were in my dad's car, and a black Porsche pulled up alongside us at the traffic lights, and I said to my dad, whose is that car? And he said, it's our lawyers. And I said, I want to be a lawyer then. And off the back of that story, because I'm from a very normal working class family in Liverpool in the UK, and so my family was very happy to hear that their son wanted to be a lawyer. And I'd be the first person in the family to go to university, and so obviously this was met with great joy and pleasure from the whole family. And my parents used to say to me, to when we'd be at a party or anything like that, tell everybody what you want to be. And I'd say, I want to be a lawyer, and everyone would cheer and be happy. So from a very young age, I was like, well, this sounds like a good idea. And I just went through my entire life. I was one of those people in school who other people were frustrated by, because I always knew what I wanted to be. So other people would say to me, I wish I knew what I wanted to be. And I'd say, well, I've got this sorted. And that led me all the way through life, basically through university to law school, to qualifying to work for some of the biggest and best law firms in the world. And I had a number of occasions along the way where I questioned it. And I thought, I remember in university, a law firm sent in someone to talk to us, to tell us how to become a lawyer after our degree. And they said, you'll be asked a question in your interview about why you want to be a lawyer. And I remember I sat there and thought, oh, that's easy. I know. I've always wanted to be a lawyer. And the guy, I'll never forget this moment, the guy paused and said, but there's one answer we won't accept. He said, we won't accept the answer that you've always wanted to be one. You've got to tell us why you want to be one. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember it was like someone hit me across the face with a bat, because I went home that day and I was like, I don't know why. And when I started to unpick this story, this factors into a lot of the work I do with people now about stories we tell ourselves and our childhood and the programming we get. My story was basically, I saw a nice car. And if that day my dad had said to me, that black Porsche is owned by a doctor, I'd have said I wanted to be a doctor. If he'd have said to me, it's owned by someone who runs an engineering company, I'd have said, I want to own an engineering company. I didn't know what a lawyer was. I didn't know what the job was. But this story just followed me through life, and different things happened. And I ended up carrying on down the path, went to, as I say, work for some of the biggest and best law firms in the world. At 29, set up my own company, set up my own law firm. And I just reached a point in my mid-30s where I realized not only did I not enjoy it, but I was completely depressed. I had, to the outside world, I had everything that everybody says you should want. I had a business with a big flash office in a city center. I owned a beautiful city center apartment. I owned multiple investment properties. I made a lot of money. I drove a nice car. I married a beautiful woman. And at the moment when I would say society thought I was at the peak of doing so well, I was at my most depressed and suicidal. I was planning on how to end my own life. And I just reached a point where I thought, there must be more to life than this, and decided to rip it all down and start again.
Wow. That's amazing. Like how clear you are about all of these things and the how they evolved in your life. And it's actually, I really appreciate your vulnerability and you sharing all of this with us, and just this whole perspective, like what we see on the outside and what's happening on the inside can be such a great difference if we don't know the whole story. And I think this is fascinating, at least for me. I'm sure for our listeners as well. But I'm curious, on your journey, was there a moment when you discovered gratitude, like that personal experience of gratitude, not just the concept, the idea, but actually something really personal that you experience with not just with your mind but also with your heart?
So many experiences. It was interesting when I was thinking about this coming onto your show that it's hard to pinpoint individual things when so many things have happened in your life over a long period of time. But there was one story that stands out at me, and it was when I was in the middle of running my own law firm, and I'd set up another company, an online company, and I was doing property development. So I was working extremely hard. So all of the things that lots of the personal development world will tell you to do, lots of drive and lots of long hours, and you know, working 100 hours a week and not sleeping very much. And I remember once, this was must have been when I was about 31, 32 years old, and I started to get a pain down my left arm, and it was there consistently for weeks and weeks. And I was going to I'm a football fan, and I was going to a football match one day, and I mentioned it to two of my friends. I said, God, this, my left arm's been in pain for weeks. And they both said to me, you need to go to the doctors. And I always say to people, if I don't know what whether it's the same in Romania, but in Britain, male friendships tend not to be very we tend not to be very nice to each other a lot of the time. They're not when people show compassion towards each other, you know there's something to worry about, because we most of our life is spent laughing at each other and telling jokes, and so we don't tend to talk about things like health issues and things like that. So when a male friend says to you, you need to go to the doctors, it's something to worry about. And I remember when I went home and I phoned, we had like a non-emergency health number in the UK back then. And I phoned this lady and she answered, and she always reminded me of an auntie of mine, very caring. And she said, what's the problem? And I said to her, I've had this pain down my left arm. It's nothing to worry about, but I said I would check it out. My wife at the time wanted me to get it checked out. And she said, how long have you had the pain for? And I said, it's probably about 2 months now. And she said to me, so for every day for 2 months, your left heart arm has been in pain. And I said, yeah. And she said, what type of pain? And I said, it was the difference, like sometimes numb, sometimes ting, like it tingles, sometimes pins and needles. And she said to me, okay, son, what I want you to do is I want you to go and wait by your front door, and I'm going to send an ambulance to your apartment. I'm going to take you straight to accident and emergency in the hospital. And I said to her, whoa, I went, you don't need to do that. I went, this is not an emergency. I've had this pain for weeks. And she said to me, that's the problem, son. She said, this is really serious. You need to get to hospital. And at that moment, my wife came burst into the room, and I convinced the lady on the phone she didn't need to send an ambulance. My wife could take me to the hospital. And I went to the accident and emergency unit in the city centre in Liverpool, which is usually really busy, full of people, usually have to wait for hours to be seen. And I walked to the desk and I gave my details to the lady behind the desk. And she typed them into her computer and looked up at me. And obviously, the lady I'd spoken to on the phone had phoned ahead. And she said to me, Paul, you need to go through this door to your left and completely bypass the waiting room, which had never happened to me before in
My
all my
God.
years on the planet. I walked through these swinging double doors to be greeted by a young doctor in a white coat with a stethoscope around his neck, like you would see in a hospital drama on TV. And he walked me across to this bed with a machine full of all of these wires and clips, and he sat me on the bed, and I took my top off, and he strapped me up to this machine again, like you would see in a hospital drama, with all the sticky patches on your chest and on your arms. And they were basically checking to see whether I had a heart attack or whether I was having a heart attack. And they did lots of tests, and they said, "There's no, you're okay." They kept me in for a couple of hours, and then they sent me away saying, "You need to think about the lifestyle that you live in and the amount of stress you're under." And I remember I spoke to one of my uncles afterwards who'd had a heart attack in the past, and he said, the problem is, Paul, those machines can only tell if you're having a heart attack whilst you're strapped up to them. So you might have had a heart attack in the past and you just don't know. And at that moment, I remember thinking, something needs to change. And it's interesting, whenever I talk to people throughout the world now, whenever people have sort of, not that that was, I wouldn't describe that as a near-death experience, but a moment where your mortality comes into question, and all of a sudden, I think as youngsters, we all think we're immortal, and it's only as you get older you start to realize you're not. And when something like that happens, all of a sudden it changes everything. So I can put that was the first step towards me changing my life, basically, and thinking, and it's important for me to be grateful for just the very basic thing in life of being alive, and not taking for granted what we are given as a gift.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Wow. I can only imagine how it must have felt, and the shock of finding something like this out when, like you said, we think we're immortal, we're invincible, and we realize that it's not actually quite like that, and just the fact that we are alive still, especially in that particular situation in which you were in, is something that you can be grateful for and you need to be grateful for. And yeah, wow. that's quite an experience. And how do you define gratitude, like for yourself? What would be a definition of gratitude in your eyes?
I think gratitude is all about being able to see the good in things, even when on the surface it might not appear that there's anything good in them. To be able to see what benefit you've had from experiences in life, whether they happen to you now or happen to you in the past, that have benefited you. Because it's very easy for us to look at things that happen to us. And something I talk about a lot to my clients and in the new book is the idea that we meet a lot of our needs in life subconsciously. I talk a lot about human needs and the way our systems are built subconsciously to meet these needs a lot of the time. And one of the ways in which we do that is to paint ourselves as the victim a lot of the time. And when things happen to us that on the surface appear to be negative, we can focus on that so-called negativity, when actually, for the most part, some of the things that on the surface appear to be the most negative things that have happened in my life have actually in the long run been the most beneficial. Like, I've learned far more from times of adversity and hardship than I ever learned from times of joy and happiness. The joy and happiness times were lovely, but they didn't teach me as much as the times where I was going through darkness and pain. And so being able to see that and to be able to zoom out and over time train yourself that actually when you're in the moment, even in that moment of feeling pain or experiencing things that might, or what people might think are negative, to be able in that moment to say, but think of what I'll benefit from this, think of what will come next, think of the experience I'm getting, that's huge for me, and that is fundamentally what gratitude is to me.
Giving a gift that supports someone dear to your heart can be a real blessing. Woohoo You made it very simple for you to offer a memorable gift that your loved one will surely cherish for the rest of their life. Help him or her feel appreciated and valued right now. They might need it more than you think. Go to georgianbenta.com/woohoo or visit the link in the description to find out more. Wow. I love this perspective. And I just realized that I didn't ask you how you are right now from this point of view, like from your health standpoint.
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Thank you for asking. Part of when I changed my life now, probably I started making changes quite a few years ago, but for the past 3 or 4 years, I've been working very hard. I started working with a therapist and started working with coaches in different countries and learning from all corners of the globe and completely transformed my life, including from a health perspective. So yeah, I've never felt better. I was chatting to, I'm 41 years old now, and I was talking to someone the other day, and one of my favorite things in life is that when I was younger, I always looked young for my age. So when if someone said to me, when I was
know the
saying,
feeling.
So when I, let's say when I was 25, if someone said to me, how old are you? And I said to them, guess how old you think I am? I'd enjoy playing that game, because they'd say 19, 20. And I'd be like, no, I'm 25. And then when I got to this point of running my law firm and being the most stressed I'd ever been, I would say like 32 at the time in the worst moment of this. And I'd say to someone, they'd say, how old are you? And I'd say, guess. And they'd say 40, 40. And I'd be like, no,
wow.
No, I'm 32. Wow. Something's gone wrong here. And the best way to explain how much my life has improved is we've gone back to the other way now. So when people ask me how old I am now, and I say I'm 41, they'll often say to me, wow, you don't look 41. I thought you were in your 30s. And I'm like, oh, thanks. So yeah, I feel better than ever.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm really glad to hear that. And yeah, I'm sure that this is the way we feel inside is very reflected. Very much reflected in how we look, how we're perceived by other people. But I would like us to go back in time and talk a little bit about our childhood and how the moments when we feel that our self-worth is low, how they affect our lives right now. Can you elaborate on this a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. This forms the root of all the work I do with people now. And when I was learning from all these different places and different people, I ultimately came to the conclusion that all of our problems in our adult life trace back to when we were children and to experiences we had as children, which the general sort of, psychology world will talk about trauma and the trauma that we experienced as children. And something that I found was I had a really nice childhood. I don't like talking about trauma, because I think to most of us trauma sounds like really big events that happened, and when we talk about that, most of us will say that didn't happen to me, I didn't have any traumatic events. But what I learned over the years was that trauma to children is different to trauma to adults. So when we look back at our childhood through adult eyes, it doesn't often, obviously there are lots of people who can say, yes, I experienced severe trauma as a child. But for the most part, people will look back and say, no, my life wasn't traumatic at all. And I say, well, but because we're looking back with adult eyes, if you look back and look at it with child's eyes, most of life is traumatic for a child. One of my favorite examples to give is, if you've ever seen a three-year-old who had an ice cream and dropped it on the floor, and watch how they react to the fact that they've just dropped their ice cream on the floor, they will cry and scream as though it's the end of the world. And I said to telling my dad's 75 now, so he's not really interested in this world at all. So I was explaining some of this to him and trying to explain it to him in a way he'd understand. And I told him this story about a child with their ice cream. And he said to me, yeah, but when you were a kid, if you dropped your ice cream, we'd just tell you, we'd get you another one. It was fine. And I said to him, well, picture this then, to try and put it in context of what's happening to the kid. I went, let's say you came home from a hard day's work. And when you came home, your house had disappeared. Your house is just gone. It's not there anymore. Would you feel traumatized? And he said, absolutely, of course I would. I've got a very strong emotional attachment to the house and the things that are in it. And I said to him, what if I came up and put my hand on your back and said, don't worry about it, Dad, I'll buy you a new house. And he said, well, that wouldn't make it better at all. It's this house I wanted. I said, exactly. That's how children feel about their ice cream. Because to a three-year-old, that ice cream is everything. It's their entire world. Their emotional attachment to it is huge. They don't know you can just get another ice cream. So when that ice cream falls on the floor, to a child, that can be a traumatic event. And that's just a very basic example. The work I go into is to help people understand how the things people say to us, the behaviors we witness as children, all lead to us experiencing small traumas and programming experiences, as I call them, which form who we are as people. And one of the biggest things they teach us, and this is nobody's fault, this is just the way society has been built over the generations, One of the things they teach us is that who we are naturally as people is not good enough. And what that leads to is us having a sense of low self-worth or low self-esteem. And that over the years develops in many, many different ways and leads to that is effectively the root cause of all much bigger problems as we get older. The problem is as we become adults, we get distracted by the symptoms. So we start to focus on all of the things that are happening in our day-to-day lives, thinking that's what the problem is. And we try and solve the problem by focusing on the symptom. Whereas what I always say to people is, no, we need to go right the way back. And we go all the way back to childhood most of the time. And we figure out all of these things. We figure out what happened to us and why we developed the things we developed. And then we can get into the actual root causes of how we transform things later on.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And the way I see it is that we form a map of the world when we are children, and an emotional map of the world. And through these experiences, through these limitations, like with elephants, when they use a rope when they are young elephants, and when they grow big, they use the same rope, and they basically don't try to rip it off because they've learned this helplessness and the fact that if they try, it won't work, so they don't even try anymore. So definitely, I think it's something that's impacting all of us one way or another. And I think it's before, so actually while, but also before getting more into gratitude and into the practice of gratitude, I think we need to look at these things as well, because they are keeping us from going forward and from experiencing more in life.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's one of my, because I'm a huge advocate of gratitude and the impact it can have on your life. And something else I've realized as I've gone through the work that I've done on the flip side of the coin. So something I talk about in the book is, I'm sure you're, I don't know what your view is on things like gratitude journals, but I mm-hmm. guess you'd be a supporter of them. And I think they're really good, you know, making it every day, thinking about the ways in which we can be grateful for life. And at the same time, when I talk about childhood, one of the problems we have in childhood is we are taught that what people describe as negative emotions are not acceptable. So things like fear and anger and anxiety and jealousy and self-pity, we're taught subconsciously that these are not acceptable. And what that leads us to, because we know deep down instinctively that we feel these emotions, that leads to the feeling of we're not good enough, because we think, well, I shouldn't feel these things. So if we jump straight to gratitude a lot of the time, it compounds this feeling of we're not good enough. Because if I feel in any moment, let's say I'm feeling sorry for myself, and someone says to me, well, you should just be grateful for your life. I say, well, that's all well and good, but I already feel sorry for myself. So what do I do with that feeling? And if we jump straight to gratitude too quickly, what we're actually doing is still repressing and suppressing our real emotions, which is unhealthy. Right. So there's a step to go through first, which is okay. Let me feel my real emotion first. There's nothing wrong with feeling sorry for yourself sometimes. There's nothing wrong with feeling jealous or angry or anxious. So let's recognize and accept and process that emotion. And once we've recognized and processed that emotion, then we can move to gratitude and think about all the ways in which we can be grateful for what's happened to us and for our lives. And I think that first step is often what's missing from a lot of people's lives.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And I think it's a very important point. Like, we have all of these things going on, and it's important to accept the fact that we are not perfect, that we have emotions that are negative and positive, and it's part of the colors of life. We have a whole spectrum that we get to experience, and I think it's actually a gift, and it's something that we are able to experience here on this earth. So I also wanted to ask you, I was very curious to find out, what are some of the things that you are grateful for right now? I'm guessing at a certain level, you were at least at some point quite grateful for the external things that you are experiencing, the law firm, the car, the house, the investments. I'm curious, what are you grateful for right now?
Yeah, so that's something that's changed hugely in my life. Is my focus now is not on anything materialistic, really, or external. It's on more internal things and experiences. So going back to what we were saying earlier on, I have a huge amount of gratitude for all of the pain I've experienced in my life, and the difficult times and health issues. I've had chronic health issues, as well as that sort of suspected heart attack story I told you before. And what I realized a few years ago, and I still see now, and especially with the book I've just written, I would not be able to do what I do now. My life now would not look the way it looks without the pain I'd been through in the past, without having experienced all of those things, without having changed my own life. I wouldn't be able to help other people now the way I do. And it's something I am incredibly grateful for, which supports the point I was saying to you before about it ties in perfectly with my definition of gratitude. Because if my life had just been lovely up to this point and full of joy and love and happiness and no difficult times, that would be lovely, but I would not be able to help people the way I can help people. And it's a very humbling and privileged position to be in, to be able to help other people to change their lives as a result of the difficult times you've had in your own life.
That's wonderful. Yeah. And I another thing that I think it's quite important is the ability to be empathic with the pain or the things that other people are going through. If you haven't experienced these kinds of things, you really can't understand, can't feel for other people and understand what they're going through. And I think that's an important part of being human and of making an impact in the world. So we're nearing the end of our time together, and I want us to talk a little bit about your book. It has a really bold title, and firstly, let us know a little bit about the book, and afterwards, where can our audience get it?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right about the title. So for the people listening, it's called How to Solve Any Problem in Life, The Root Causes of Everything. And the title actually came about because I'd started writing it. I was in Spain last year in a co-living house. And one of the things was, if you're in this house and everybody contributes to the community, and someone said to me, well, what could you contribute? And I said, well, I could talk about the things I coach people on around the world. And they said to me, what would you call the session if you had to call it something? It needs a name. And just off the top of my head, I said, how to solve any problem in life. And everybody stopped. Everybody stopped and looked at me and said, that's a bold claim. And I started laughing and said, that's just what came to me. And it's true. It's my belief about this work is that all of our problems come down to the same root causes. And if we forget what the problem is and we don't get distracted by it, and instead we go to the root causes, what you find is the problems disappear. And so I what the book is effectively is me taking people through the entire experience that they would go through if I was coaching them one-on-one. But I can only coach a few people at a time, and it's quite expensive to do. So I wanted to get the information because I think it's so powerful. I wanted to get this information out to as many people as I possibly could for as low a cost as possible. Because I often think people, I love superhero movies, and I often say to people, if I have a superpower, I think I'd love it to be being able to fly or shoot laser beams out my eyes. But what it looks like I've ended up with is the ability to take a lot of complex information and to explain it to other people in a way that makes sense. And I used to be able to do this as a lawyer. I was renowned among my clients for being able to jump into a very complex deal, break it down into very simple terms, and then make sure everybody understands it. And that's something I like to do with this because I think in the psychology world and the personal development world, often there's lots of very complicated stuff that even as a former lawyer, I'll be reading things and think, God, this is so powerful and so important, but the way the person is explaining it is too complicated. They're using the words they use are too big, it's too boring, it needs to be more engaging, it needs to be more fun. So what I've done over the years is bring all of this stuff together and package it in a way that makes sense to more people. And the people I work with on a coaching basis, that's something they feed back to me is it makes sense to them in a way that it hasn't made sense to them before. Presented in a different way with a different approach and different ways to think about similar topics. So that's what the book does. It takes people right the way through. Basically, the first phase is understanding who we really are, stripping away all of the human we've been built to be by other people. And then the next phase is to transform and figure out how to transform into who we really want to be and who we're really meant to be. And the last part of the book to back up the title, the bold title, is I talk about some very big things in life. So things like love in relationships, healing illnesses, changing the world, and show how the principles in the book can be used to take on these really big topics, which is an example of how basically they can be used for any problem you have in life. I can show you how it all comes back to the same thing.
That's wonderful. I love your perspective, and I love how bold it is. And yeah, I think too that when we find the root of the problems, it's easy to find the solution and to make it into an opportunity, basically. So, where can our audience find your book?
So it's on at the moment, it's available on Amazon all around the world, in paperback, Kindle, and will be on Audible, so audiobook in the next week or so. They can also, if they would like to read, I give away the first four chapters for free. As I say, I like to get this to as many people as possible. So I give away the first four chapters for free through my website. They can read it or listen to it, no strings attached. And if they don't like it, they can just unsubscribe from my mailing list, no questions asked. And the whole idea is people can sample it before they decide whether to to spend their hard-earned money on it or to read, spend the time reading the rest of the book. So the website is my name, Paul, P-A-U-L, the number 7, Cope, C-O-P-E.com /free chapters. And if you go to that website, you'll be able to download the first 4 chapters for free.
Perfect. I'll be putting the link in the description and you can just click it if you don't want to type it. So, Paul, thank you very much for everything that you shared with us, for being so vulnerable and so open about talking about your story and everything that you went through. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options in stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now. Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.